Exodus 20. And God spake, the God who communicates, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, and you should not have any other gods before me, none. Verse 4, don't make any graven images, none. No idols, no carvings, nothing manufactured. You don't do anything like that. You are different. Which, by the way, is the point of the commandments. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And I show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Do not take my name or the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't do it, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. By the way, I wonder to myself, young people, if you're young, would you listen to me right now? I wonder if we have a prohibition to taking the name of the Lord in vain, if we should be listening to music artists that take his name in vain. I wonder if you hear a song, and in that song, the lyrics are blasphemous. They're rude. They're obnoxious. They don't honor God in any way, shape, or form. I wonder if you should keep listening to that or not. I wonder why it is that we have young people in our church that are listening to lyrics that profane the name of God. Brian shared with us a set of lyrics. We did a podcast on Thursday. If you haven't listened to it, I'd encourage you to do it. I'm about a rapper that recently died. And the rapper talks about hanging a rope around Jesus' neck. I'm just wondering how the Holy Spirit can dwell in you and you could have that in your iPod, in the ears. I'm just struggling at understanding how the Spirit of the living God would dwell in you and you could listen to that man profane the name of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day, it's the Lord's. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that's within your gates. 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea, and all them rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He set it apart. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Do not kill. Do not. Don't do it. Don't murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Do not commit adultery. And now the commandment we're going to look at tonight, do not steal. Lord, I'm going to ask you to bless our time of teaching and interaction. May everyone who says something in our discussion forum, may they think before they speak. May they be led by the Holy Spirit. May what is said be edifying and honoring to you and pleasing to you. May you be exalted and we, your people, edified and instructed and discipled from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Stealing's a problem. Stealing is a giant problem. Steve mentioned to me a small business owner, we will not say his name or anything like that most recently, that had an employee that had been embezzling, what was the number, Steve? $100,000. Small business owner and had lost $100,000 in embezzlement. Stealing is clearly a problem. It is a problem. Somebody tell me why stealing is a problem. Because by the way, in the high school, in the middle school, we battle it all the time. We battle it all the time. Josh, tell us, why is stealing a problem? Okay, you can't love your neighbor if you're taking his stuff, okay? Why do we have a problem with young people stealing? Why do we have humans stealing? What is the issue that prompts this stealing?
Covetousness.
Yeah, desiring to have something that they have and you don't have it. Is that the essence of it, TJ? Feeling entitled to something that is not yours. Exodus 21 goes on to say that whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him, shall be put to death. Shall be put to death. That is an incredibly strong prohibition. So quite frankly, we have to say out loud, boldly, clearly, we have no idea how the church could have got involved in slavery in the South during the entire Civil War. And we're not going to try to justify it. We're not going to try to talk around it and legitimize it in any way, shape, or form. You look at that. Whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found to be in possession of him, shall be put to death. Folks, it doesn't get any stronger or any clearer than that. The fact that I didn't kidnap you, if I'm in possession of someone who was kidnapped and I have purchased you in any way, shape, or form, there it is right there. There it is. Say again. Yes, today it's human trafficking. That's correct. And it's a giant problem. If a man gives to his neighbor money or goods to keep it safe and it is stolen from the man's house, then if the thief is found, he shall pay double. He shall pay double. Exodus 22:7. By the way, one more time. There's no incarceration in the Old Testament. One more time, there's no incarceration. Okay? What you have to do is you have to make restitution. You have to make things right. You don't just get to steal money from somebody and then do a little time in jail and everything's fine. The person who lost their possession has to be some means whereby things are made right. Leviticus 19:13, do not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You don't have someone work for you all day and then deprive them of their wages. They may need that to eat. So what are the legitimate implications of this commandment? What are the legitimate implications of this commandment? Because we're not just going to talk. We're going to wrestle with the text. We're going to think about it. What are the legitimate implications of this commandment? TJ again. Okay, all right, so you're going to get into examples. I want to back it up just a little bit before that. Because we're going to talk about all kinds of ways that we can steal, but I want to back up the implications of this commandment. So God gives us right to our personal property. Yeah, say it louder, Hansel. This is Hansel, by the way, and somebody needs to befriend him. He's sitting by himself. Are you guys, okay, good, all right. Yeah, he does not have a pew buddy. He needs a pew buddy. There is no doubt he needs a pew buddy. Okay, sharp young man. Okay, yep, not too bad to look at, you know, no buck teeth or anything. So, you know, he needs a pew buddy. He has a job, right? I mean, the lots of criteria is male, job, everything. So you said it, not me, okay? But he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Legal possession and personal ownership are permitted by God. Right off the bat. So don't think that communism is biblical in that sense that we're supposed to all be living in this communal system and nobody really owns anything and what's mine is yours and what yours is mine. That's simply not the case. Legal ownership of personal property is absolutely permitted by God. It's you wouldn't have this commandment if what's yours is mine and what is mine is yours. Then you actually could never ever steal because nobody would ever own something. So stealing is not possible in a pure communal society. And oh, by the way, there is never such a thing as a pure communal society. Okay, that's always just a pipe dream. Somebody, no matter what, is always at the top. Somebody's always at the top, no matter what. taking advantage of those underneath. So now, in fact, think with me now. Think with me about how this commandment relates to commandments 6, 7, 9, and 10. Because this is an incredibly broad commandment. For example, we know that in verse number 13, that is commandment number 6, that the killing is in particular human beings. It's not against God's commandment to kill a bird or a hog. This is humans. And we know that in commandment number 14, that adultery is in particular with a person who's married and such. And we know that in commandment number 16, that bearing false witness is in a particular scenario. But this one is, don't steal anything. Don't steal anything. So think about commandment number 6. When you murder, you're actually stealing somebody's life. You're stealing someone's life. Think about commandment number 14. You're stealing someone's spouse. You're stealing someone's spouse. Think about bearing false witness. You're stealing justice. You're stealing justice. The whole idea of bearing false witness is you're testifying in a court system. This is the height of it. This is not the commandment about, did you take those cookies and no, I didn't or whatever, and there's crumbs falling off your lip, okay? This is the legitimacy of a justice system. John, you have a thought?
You're also stealing reputation.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. Yeah, we're going to talk about stealing non-material things. Yeah. And then, of course, we know that coveting, as you said, Daniel, this is stealing always, nearly always, comes from breaking this commandment first. The reason you stole that is because you want it and you don't have it. So this commandment, thou shalt not steal, is probably of the 10, the broadest of all the commandments. And let's be clear, nothing in the New Testament even remotely permits stealing. Stealing is just as prohibited in the New Testament as the Old Testament. There's no variance whatsoever. Paul said in Romans 13:9, you should not commit adultery, don't murder, do not steal, do not covet. All the commandments are summed up in this one, and that is you're not loving your neighbor if you're stealing from them. You're not loving your neighbor if you're stealing from them. Paul says in Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal. Stop that. Stop stealing and go to work. And go do some honest labor and get enough that you could actually be generous. That actually you could give to someone who has a need. So ultimately, this commandment prohibits taking anything that belongs to another person. So we want to think tonight about how broad is this commandment. How broad is this commandment? Because we've already went a couple ideas here. TJ led us down this productivity, and John led us down this reputation. So we want to unpack this in every regard. So let's be clear, you can't steal a human. So if someone ever says to you, well, the Bible's okay with slavery, stop them. Just stop them right away. That is simply not the case. Now, no slavery. Now, you got to be honest and say there is indentured servitude. There is indentured servitude. And the reason they often get to indentured servitude is because you don't get to get away with not making restitution. Okay, that's the issue. If I borrow from you and I default on the loan, I don't get just to go see a judge at the bankruptcy court and he goes, wash it away. Where you lose. There isn't someone that says, it's okay, you stole from them, don't worry about it. There's always a requirement to make restitution. If a man steals an ox or a sheep or kills it or sells it, he shall repay 5 oxen for an ox. So it's not 30 days in jail. 30 days in jail doesn't help make restitution to the man who lost his oxen. And in fact, everybody in society has to pay the penalty for taking care of you for 30 days in jail. But instead, you've got to repay oxen. And here's what happens. If you can't repay the ox, you go to work for me. You go to work for me. You don't get to just sit in jail and surf the internet. You actually have to labor. The more we study this, the more we see how problematic our current justice system is. If a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. But if the sun has risen on him, there shall be blood guilt for him. He shall surely pay. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. And that'll rock your world, won't it? How do we feel about that tonight, church? Jan doesn't want it at all. She's leaving. You know that's not the case, and you know I'm just joshing with Jan. She's a good sport. And she gave me a thumbs up. Okay. But how do we feel about that? What is our initial gut reaction? You get a loan from a bank, and you default on that loan, and so you're going to have to work for somebody for that. And you don't just get to say, sorry, and the car gets repossessed, and the business is out. Church, talk to me about how we respond to that right there. Then he shall be sold for his theft. It does seem over the top, doesn't it, John? Is it over the top? What do we think about that? It would cut down on theft? What do you, young people, is there any young person that has something intelligent to say tonight? With regard to what do you think about this clear statement that if you steal from someone, you borrow from somebody, you can't repay them, then you'll be sold until that debt is paid. Marcus, you're not young, by the way, just so we're clear on that. Right.
But, I mean, it gets into, with you get Exodus 21, too. They talk about, you know, the Hebrew slave who sold for 6 years and the seventh will go free. So there's a time set on that.
That's right.
That's the difference between that and slavery. So he's getting time out of this. Mm-hmm. For 7 years, I'm sorry, your life's going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
There's no nice way to put it.
Right, no, there is no nice way of putting it. There is no nice way of putting it. There's no doubt. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years. And the seventh year, he shall go out free for nothing. If he comes in single, he goes out single. If he comes in married, then he goes out with it. Is this the first time you've thought about this, or is the entire church well aware of the fact that this was the norm in the Old Testament? Okay. So if you can't steal another human being, then you can't steal what they own. And that's just clearly implied. Now this commandment also, I think, implicitly reinforces the sanctity of personal property. The sanctity of personal property. Now let's, someone explain to me how we're using this word. I want to hear from you, young people. How are we using this word, sanctity? Adam, how are we using this? Or were you going to answer that, or were you going to a different direction?
I was going to point something out about.
All right, let's do it. Point it out, nice and loud.
The shock and awe when we read those verses. I think I'll, like the one we just read about, you know, person being sold into slavery. Oftentimes, you have to temper what you read with, you know, the kind of advantages that Exodus is actually, you know, the bringing forward law inside of this environment. I mean, if you were to examine other ancient Near Eastern documents of law and ethics during that time, I think you would find the human value and worth to be much smaller. And so to them, something like that may have been kind of shocking. They may have been like, that's it, that's all he gets. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't get to kill him, or, you know.
Right.
I mean, you have to temper that with the how this would have been perceived by original audiences.
Sure, because today I get to call a lawyer and I don't have to say anything and I'm considered innocent before proven guilty, and it's a giant difference in perspective, isn't it? John.
Yeah, I was just connecting those two ideas in my mind and where you were headed next, and that is, I think somewhere along the way we turned a corner and now the penal system is about rehabilitation and the concept, because we stopped believing that basically people are bad and that they're going to sin and here's what we're going to do to deal with it. And so it stopped really being about restitution, which is connected to, we really see personal ownership in some ways in this country as offensive. So like the main narrative right now is if you own stuff, you've got to, somehow you've got that by stealing people or doing something wrong or cheating them. And the problem is we have many examples, of course, which people did that.
Mm-hmm.
They took cut corners, took advantage of child labor laws, and so all of this
Yeah, so we're comparing restitution to rehabilitation, and we're saying that the premise of restitution is in fact that man is inherently sinful, and so we need to figure out ways of making things right because man is going to be sinful. That's just the reality. Rehabilitation is based on really humanism, where we have this perception that we can make people good.
So a case in point is if I steal something, they're going to try to fix my, well, you stole something, so you must be a thief, which we would, of course, agree, yes, because we're all sinners. But they're going to say, we're going to work on you until you can't steal anything else. But we would say, no, that never happens. Someone always has the potential to be a sinner. And of course, we're not talking about our standing before Christ, but we know that man just inherently is, especially without Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous how prone we are to contemplate sin. I'll give you a case in point. I bought some bolts the other day, and the man thought he counted out six, but it was actually seven. He wrote down six on the bag and wrote down the number, and I actually entertained this thought. I'm embarrassed to even tell you. Well, it looks like we can get a free bolt. And then, no, I got to the cash register and said, it's not six, it's seven. I felt like I needed to say that. And we're dealing with a 25-cent bolt. I mean, I'm embarrassed that I even had that thought. And yet, where did that thought come from? It comes from a sin nature that's just constantly thinking, man, I got over it. I'm getting seven for six. And then I got to the cash register and said, no, man, I won't even go to sleep. I have to drive all the way back in there and be embarrassed about that. So let me get it right now at the cash register. It's actually seven, ma'am. It's not six, even though it's written down by six. But I think your example is well taken. If the basis of our premise is that man is inherently sinful, then there's no counseling in the world that's going to fix that. There's no rehabilitation. There's no classes. The only solution to that is Christ.
Amen. But you can't say that anymore.
No, you can't say that anymore. No, you're exactly right. You cannot say that. Once they're in jail, you can say that? Yeah. So I would like to focus on this just a little bit because, let's face it, most of us are not going to steal a whole lot this week. Right. Okay. So we've got to, if we're going to have any application to this, we've got to dig a little deeper. If we're actually going to apply this text to our lives, we've got to dig just a little deeper. I doubt... dare say that anybody will do anything in grand scheme of stealing material things in the next 7 days. No break and entries probably in this church, at least for a week or so. Right. But what about the sanctity of personal property? How am I using that word? Come on, this is an interaction. I want to hear from somebody who's young. Sorry, go ahead, Carmen. Now you put your hand up there. Okay, all good things are given to us, sanctified. Any other ideas on what I'm trying to communicate with this idea of the sanctity of personal property? And I'm using this, how am I using this word? The sanctity, the set apartness. Okay, personal rights. All right, now we're getting on that track. So let's say that I borrow something from Steve Wilson. I borrow a piece of equipment. Well, the manner in which I receive that piece of equipment, it's in a particular stage. It's filled up with gas. It has the appropriate level of oil. It is clean. Now, what is my responsibility based on the biblical idea, thou shalt not steal, and the sanctity of personal property? What is my biblical responsibility, John? Right. Now, I would say that this is an area that we could do some work on in the body of Christ. Now, it's easy to say, I don't steal. That's not hard at all. I don't steal. But what about when I borrow your truck to move? What about when I borrow something from you because I don't have it? How do I return it to you? Yeah, if not the same condition, the better. I wonder if our young people are learning that. Jeff.
Here's something even for all of us, but especially people in school or writers, it's plagiarism. Like stealing somebody else.
Yeah, we're going to get to non-material. Don't rush away from this. We're going to get there. We got plenty of time. Yeah, we're going to get there. I want to focus on this idea of stewardship. Because I don't know how well we do this in the body of Christ. I think sometimes, just a moment, Dick, I think sometimes unsaved people do a better job of this than we do. Yeah. Dick.
I was just going to say, we also, you talked about borrowing something that has gas and oil and so forth. And depending on how we take care of it, we've also diminished its life.
That's right.
So do I expect everybody to borrow my stuff? And it's going to wear out, and then someday I've loaned it out, and everybody's used the goodie out of it, and I no longer have something that's any good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to think about that when we're borrowing from somebody. Are we diminishing the life of that person's personal property? And are we compensating?
Yeah, for example, if I borrow your chainsaw, Dick, maybe I buy you a new chain when I give it back to you.
Exactly.
Right, because that's a way of compensating for the
fact that you've used up the chain.
That's right. But I think we live in a world of entitlement. I think that if we're not careful, hold on. Are you getting distracted, sister? Because I'm trying to get folks focused on stewardship and the legitimacy of actually thinking about what I've borrowed. And am I actually stewarding it correctly? Yeah, so that's an amazing example. Rental vehicles. Don't we have a tendency of thinking rental vehicles, we just drive them and beat them to pieces? Yet somebody owns that. Jessica?
Well, I was going to say, you would think that we take care of our own stuff and then we think of other people's stuff as less, so we trash it. But I think it's more of, some of us don't have a habit of being good stewards over our own stuff.
That's right.
So that has to be learned early on, so that when you have someone else's stuff, you understand the importance of it.
So you make it a habit of stewarding what you have well, because in essence, you're borrowing from God, because it's all God's. Josh?
I think there's also a portion of it of, I borrow from my friend TJ, and he'll forgive me if it doesn't go back. It's okay. He's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a part of that we use. We use it as a cop-out to make it so I don't have to. He's my friend. He'll forgive me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that person, they don't know me, so I got to make sure I do a good job and make it look good.
And would you say that's a legitimate idea, he's my friend, or would you say that we
not.
Need to...
Yeah. If I would want him to return it to me in that fashion, then I shouldn't return it to him in that fashion.
Yep. All the way in the back, Daniel Deuce. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, the repair bill wasn't as expensive as we thought it was going to be. Right. From our employers, when we drive vehicles for work, the same idea. Yep. All right, David, you get the last word, and we're moving on. Okay, so make it good. Yes, but I'm not approaching it from that perspective. I'm approaching it from the perspective of, if I borrow something from you, what is my personal responsibility? I shouldn't take advantage of the words of Jesus, who says, when you lend something, if you don't get it back. I shouldn't take advantage of those words. Just like Josh said, I shouldn't take advantage of the Steve Wilson's friendship. We've been friends for 25 years, so I can run the gas out of his generator. Don't check the oil, and he should just be okay with me trashing his stuff because we're in Christ together. That's absurdity. And I promise you, Jesus didn't mean that. Yeah, your point is well taken, Darren. Yeah. Proverbs 6:30 says, "People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he's hungry. But if he is caught, he will repay sevenfold. He will give all the goods of his house." So now let's transition to, what about stealing non-material things? What about stealing non-material things? What are the non-material things a person owns? The non-material things. Michael Germany in the back has one. Let's hear it. Yeah, intellectual property. That's fourth on my list. Don?
Repetition.
Repetition, number one on my list. Allison?
Joy.
Joy, interesting. That's not on my list. Stephen?
Time.
Time, okay. Ty? Hensel? Their purity, stealing someone's purity. Wow, okay, another. Excellent. Stealing the spouse's affections. Yeah, the four I had on my list tonight to get us started was reputation, dignity, trust, and intellectual property. Reputation, dignity, trust, and intellectual property. But those are some great ones. Mike, what do you have?
Attention.
Attention, stealing someone's attention. Or focus, okay. Anyone else? We're talking about stealing non-material things. Because probably this week, we're not going to steal a whole lot of material things. But what about when you trash someone's reputation through gossip? I told someone a couple weeks ago in my frustration that I've been accused of being a liar more as a pastor than I was in 20 years in the Army. In fact, I can never remember a time in 20 years in the Army that anyone accused me of being a liar. I was accused of a lot of things. Arrogant, haughty, know-it-all, but never of being a liar. But here, it seems to me that in the body of Christ, we don't mind trashing somebody's reputation. I don't know that we actually think about stealing somebody's good name. Proverbs talks about a good name is rather be chosen. Yeah. So how does a person's good name get stolen? How does a person's good name get stolen? How does a person's good name, Don? Through gossip. That's right, through gossip. So am I guilty of breaking this commandment, this sixth commandment, if I'm gossiping? As well as the ninth. How so?
Well, because we oversimplify the ninth commandment down to thou shalt not lie. And like you talk about, did you take this cookie in the morning? No. It's much worse than that. It's bearing false witness against your neighbor. It's saying, I saw them do this, or they did this, when in fact they did not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michael. Rumors. Yes.
I think it all, destroying someone's reputation also leaves a bad aftertaste. You can try to clean up what you did, but there will be so many people that have heard this rumor or have heard this gossip that is sheer impossible to convince everybody of the opposite. Mm-hmm. And so the bad reputation will follow you.
Yep. Sure. Yep, Google my name and you'll still see it. It's all over the internet. Yep, Jamie.
We see this in school a lot, but the idea of assuming someone's intent in something as being more ill will than it really.
Assuming someone's intent. Very good. So did they do something, and then the negative assumptions made concerning what they intended to do? Yes, excellent. How about stealing someone's dignity? How about stealing someone's dignity? How would we steal someone's dignity? Josh has an idea. How would you steal someone's dignity?
It's along the same line as damaging their reputation. When you say these things, they don't come away from it and get harms who they think they are, how they feel about themselves. It's and it doesn't go away. So you're affecting their dignity by making them think that they did something wrong when they didn't.
Yeah. What about cyberbullying? What about cyberbullying? Is that done, or do we still have a problem with that? Young people, is cyberbullying still there?
Yeah.
I'm seeing heads go up and down. Jack Farmer, you say yes. Ty, what do you got for us?
It's almost the same thing that you experienced with the money that you had with them a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Sure, because everyone has means of getting onto the internet.
Isms, racism, sexism, ageism.
All of the isms. Yes.
False allegations.
False allegations, of course. Bearing false witness, yep. Pam.
What about being careless? Even if it's not malicious, just being careless with your words.
Yeah, careless, as opposed to not being deliberate and thoughtful, right. Careless, excellent. Anybody else? John. Mm-hmm.
It's just a shame, and it doesn't do anything for the relationship because you're attacking a character rather than saying, okay, let's...
The behavior, right? Focusing on the behavior. Right.
You know, you say, you're a moron.
Right. And very legitimate ideas. Anybody else? All right, what about how can you steal someone's trust? How can you steal someone's trust? Caleb. Confidence, something shared in confidence. That would be a way of stealing someone's trust. John.
Telling somebody you're going to do something and then not doing it.
Telling someone you're going to do something and then not doing it.
Inconsistency.
Katie.
Infidelity.
Yeah, infidelity. Sure. Yeah, you can lose the purity and the trust there in the marriage relationship. Josh. Right, absolutely. Anybody else? Becca.
When someone brings you something and it's like an issue, they're asking because they need wisdom, they think you're the person, and you give them terrible, ungodly advice. I think that's a way that they can now no longer trust other perceived godly folks.
Okay. Let me ask this scenario. You're selling something and you know that there's an issue with that something. Do you have to disclose it, or can you just buyer beware as a Christian?
Disclose.
You have to disclose it?
Yeah, sure.
Everyone agrees with that?
Yeah.
Issue with your house. Issue with your house. There's an issue with your house. Do you disclose it, or is it buyer beware? If you disclose it, if you want to have a clear conscience.
Fix it or disclose.
Fix it or disclose it. And then let's talk about intellectual property. Pirating. What is pirating? What is pirating? Someone explain what pirating is. Josh, again, nice and loud, please.
Pirating is stealing intellectual property, meaning you're taking the thoughts or work of other people without due compensation. Downloading a movie. I mean, we all think it's just a movie. It's not real. But there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who depend on the money from that sale to pay their bills, to tithe in their church. And if when we take that, we make it so they can't do that. And eventually we'll make it so we don't have any of that.
So are we gonna steal any songs this week? Because come on, don't we do that, Christians? Multiple email addresses to get the 30-day trial so that you're always not paying for something. Sounds like he knows what he's doing. Ty, are you going to steal any music this week? Okay. A Robin Hood type of idea. Explain that, Ty, a little bit louder. Right, they're going to make billions of dollars off of it anyway. What's five little dollars going to make? I can't believe that, you know, what's the big deal, right? I'm helping people. I couldn't afford it anyway. This is that entitlement mentality that creeps into our thinking, doesn't it? John.
In schools, just copying off your neighbor's paper.
Not cheating. Surely that's not stealing.
Ask Jack, he'll tell you.
Yeah. Stealing intellectual property. Yeah. Marcus. TJ.
And there's a flip side to that. If you're the boss and you have a subordinate that develops this, you know, wazoo product, you owe them the credit for that product. And, you know, you can't just walk in and go, well, I made this, blah, 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 because then as soon as you can't do something with it that it's supposed to do, it's going to be pretty obvious that mm-hmm. you probably didn't create
it. Isn't it interesting that the more we dig into this, the more we realize that we are really supposed to be awesome people on this earth? I mean, when we say salt and light, do we really understand the implications of what we mean by that? Think about with what I'm saying. Young people, you need to understand that being a Christian is not about just keeping rules. It is so much more than that. I mean, when you get work from somewhere or something, you're like amazing. You give a full day's work. You don't steal intellectual property. You do a good job. You're different. Folks would be thrilled to employ Christians. Our testimony should be incredible. Chuck, I know you can remember hearing someone say something about being a Christian. You're like, I wish you'd keep your mouth shut. Because they're such terrible soldiers that it doesn't give God any glory. You're embarrassed about that. Dick. Yep, your granddaughter at the project in Myrtle Beach.
With the campus outreach. It's hard to explain, but quickly, what they do is they go to a kind of a retreat. It's kind of like camp for college-age kids where they learn to be better Christians. And part of their experience is to work in the community.
Work in the community. Yeah, the manager at the Walmart said, send 50 more campus outreach kids because those workers had a testimony of doing good work. Do you have that testimony? I showed you several weeks ago, months ago, Ty's picture, Recod's picture on the screen on Sunday morning in a PowerPoint presentation. Folks, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be set apart. People are thrilled that they have a Christian working for them, with them, around them, because we're different.
So they can't be thrilled, but there's a flip side of that coin too, right?
Yep.
So it doesn't always turn out that way. So I don't want to, you know.
Sure, because we're working in an unsaved world, right, Daniel?
So like when you're the person that does everything the way that it's supposed to be done, you turn in on time, you show up on time, you do everything you're supposed to, when
You're going to feel ostracized. You're going to feel the peer pressure. There's no doubt. We're not trying to sell strictly a fantasy world in which everything's going to be fine. But at the end of the day, you can go to bed with a clear conscience knowing that you served your God well. Yeah. All right, let's pray. Dr. Wilson, deacons, come on up. I'm not going to do the Lord's Supper because I don't want to cough all over what you're going to take in. Lord God, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for, as Adam reminded us, giving us rules that make society better, rules that when followed make living on this earth in a fallen world less difficult. Doesn't solve everything, but it certainly, this law is a manifestation of your grace. And when everyone follows this law, everyone feels more grace. It's just a default category that happens. And for that, God, we're thankful. Help us this week to be very diligent to contemplate if we're actually doing our job well and if we are in fact guilty of stealing any of these non-material things that we might be tempted to steal through laziness or a lack of effort or a feeling of entitlement. Thank you, God, for your grace. In Jesus' name.